Well, it's good to see you today. I'm not concerned about the tide of our country. Most folks are literally up in arms and worried about some of the decisions being made in Washington. You need to be more concerned about the decisions that are being made in heaven. That went over like a concrete cloud. I'll bet many here thinks that America is and has been the only superpower in history. Many of us act as though that this nation is indestructible. And we live as if this high life we're living could go on and on and on. And when the bill comes due, we'll just refinance. I'd like to preach to you today out of Daniel chapter 5, entitled, When the Party Pooper Shows Up. You got that? When the party pooper shows up. Do you know what a party pooper is? He's a guy who comes to the party and says, you can't do that. Do you know any party poopers? My dad was a party pooper on several occasions. And when my dad was working, my mom filled in real well. Do you know what I'm talking about? Amen. Yes, sir. I have been called a party pooper at times. I've walked into hospital rooms and my members would have a cigarette in their mouth. And I'd walk in, and I've seen them throw a lidded cigarette into the waste paper basket. The party pooper showed up. Walked in the garage one time with one of my church members, and they were sitting there drinking beer and the wife's clothes in the dryer. As I walked in the garage, I watched them throw their beer in the dryer while it was going. The party pooper showed up. Hey, preacher, have you ever heard this joke? No, and I don't want to hear it. The party pooper showed up. I just wonder, what are we going to do when the party pooper shows up and says, I meant what I said? Amen. Daniel chapter 5, I read for you the first 5 or 6 verses, and then we'll go through the remainder of the chapter to fulfill the purpose of the message today. Verse number 5, Belshazzar, verse number 1 of chapter 5, I'm sorry. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, the king of the superpower of its day. They called her Babylon the Great. The walls encompassed 100 square miles, 30 feet high, 26 feet below the surface of the ground, and 85 feet wide. Indestructible. Historians have said that inside the walls of Babylon, the Babylonians had stored 20 years of supplies in reserve in case someone besieged the city. Just inside the walls, Before you got to the main thrust of the city was fertile land reserved for nothing but growing crops in case someone besieged the city and tried to starve them as they did in Jerusalem some few years before. Fresh water was supplied by the Euphrates River that ran straight through the city. 100 guard posts around the city. Absolutely impregnable. Absolutely indestructible. The superpower of all superpowers. It was there that Nebuchadnezzar built the hanging gardens for his wife, one of the seven wonders of the world. It's in this city that Belshazzar has now decided to have a party for all the political hierarchy, the Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury, the speakers of both houses, the president, the vice president, and Mrs. Vices and Verses and whatever. And they're all gathered now and they're drinking and having a party. It seems like we're having more parties in Washington than we are good, wise decisions about the war and about the economy. I think what we need in Chicago is the Olympics. That's much more important than the war in Afghanistan and Iran and the economy and fraudulent bankers and a crash in stock market and 10% unemployment. Dear God, let's get on a plane, take care of the Olympics. And if there's any fraud in the government, such as Acorn, why, we don't have any time to think about that. We don't even know anything about Acorn. So Belshazzar is so presumptuous, so filled of self-arrogance and pride, so secure in his gigantic walls, his armaments, and his defensive system. You know what he does while the Medes and the Persians have surrounded the city and lay siege on the city? You know what he does? He has a party. Kind of like somebody else I know. While our troops die, we check on the Olympics. While our troops die, we don't have time to talk to the generals in charge. We're dealing with real big things like another bailout maybe for Bank of America, who lost $1 billion last quarter. Do you think that this nation is indestructible? There has been many, many, many powers, great superpowers in history. The Babylonian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Roman Empire. And by the way, have you forgotten Hitler and the Third Reich? Superpower in his day, the best armaments, the best military might, some of the best generals. Have you forgot all about that? And by the way, the Soviet Union did pretty good for a while. But now all of these have passed off into history. Do you think for a moment that this nation, America, cannot also be an ex-superpower? I was asked last night by a young man, "Well, preacher, what do you think about America owing everybody so much money?" I said, "Well, as long as we got the superpower status, we could just send them home looking through a porthole with their bags in their hand. But if we ever lose our might, then the note can come due." Belshazzar, the president, the king of the great, mighty superpower. At the very moment the Medo-Persians are encompassing the city, laying plans to siege and destroy Babylon, what does he do? Does he meet with his generals? No. Does he go to God in prayer? No. What does he do? He has a party. the arrogance, the presumptuousness. Kind of reminds me of a lot of Americans. We're more interested in what the Cowboys does today than about God turning the economy. We're more interested in who the Mavericks are going to draft this year than we are about souls next door dying and going to hell. I just wonder. Let's read verse number 2. Now Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and the silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. I wonder why he didn't invite his mother-in-laws to that. Wives, plural, concubines, plural, that means plural mother-in-laws. The guy needed to get drunk. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, iron, of wood, and stone. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and rode over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. When the party pooper shows up. Now, I don't necessarily know how God may ring our bell. I don't necessarily know how God will get our attention. But I do believe with all my heart that the God we served knows which string to pull, which bell to ring, which doorbell to ring, which door to knock on. And I'll guarantee God will show up if his people's not doing right. I believe that with all my heart. Now, I notice the tendency of every nation and every church. When we become self-reliant, when we become that superhuman being or that supernature or that super church, I notice there's a tendency that takes place in every one of them. Let me give them to you right quick. First thing happens whenever we become self-reliant, we begin to believe that it will always be this way. It'll always be this way. We'll always have the finery that we have. We'll always be able to hang on to what we got. Why, who else could do our job? Anybody? Who else could make my wife's hair go frizzy when they walk in the house and say, "Hello, baby"? Who else? We have a tendency to think that things are always going to be this way. We have a tendency to think that America can never be anything less than the superpower that she is today. Second thing that begins to happen, they slowly push God out of the picture. No individual, no nation, no church just absolutely kicks God out in the road and say, "Now don't ever come back." But there is a slow tendency to push God to the side. I see that among our church members. Folk who used to not think it a sacrifice to be here Wednesday night and Sunday morning. But now it's just, you know, we've read too many signs. 1 hour a week is all we demand. And we began to, you say, and I know you'll always say, "Preacher, listen to me. I'm having my daily devotion on a regular basis. I'm doing what I... Now, look at me. Listen. If you're not in church faithful, you're not faithful to God. I don't care who you are. Me, Brother Jim, or anybody. It don't make any difference. And the tendency is when we become self-reliant, self-dependent, and secure and successful, we always think it's always going to be this way. And we begin to kind of push God slowly out of the picture. Secondly, we take him out of our public life. We take the Ten Commandments down. We kick the Bible out of school. We take down any kind of observance that even mentions the birth or the death or the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we remove all appearances of God from public life. Have we begun to do that in America? I ask you, have we begun to do that in America? It would embarrass you to see some of the literature and some of the movies that they're showing in the schools, bless your heart, about mixed marriaging, about same-sex marriaging, and about social diseases, and about pregnancy, and about abortion, and about free love. It would embarrass you to know what they're going to start showing in the public schools to your kids. You say, well, I never heard of it. Then get your head out of the sand. Why do you think? Listen, how in the world did we ever elect? How in the world did this country ever elect anybody that is so against biblical principles? Amen. How in the world did it happen? Public education. They will allow socialists and communists and Muslims and every kind of cult teach in our college, and they would not allow the Bible in one class. Yes, they will teach safe sex in our schools and pass out condoms and kick the Bible and the Ten Commandments to the road. Now where we are is where we deserve to be because of our stand. May I say to you today, the fourth thing they begin to do is to forbid the mention of God's name. Once they take his appearance out of the public sector, and once they take God out of the picture, and they become self-reliant, they no longer need God, they just flat out refuse to have you mention the name of Jesus. I know we're not doing that in America, but I thought I'd just pitch it out to you. And then they ridicule those who do mention his name. They exalt the socialist, they exalt the humanist, they exalt the Muslim, they exalt everybody else who is such a good guy, and then forbid us to mention the name of Christ. And if we do, we're ridiculed as being quake and apostolic and old-fashioned and ignorant. Look in your movies how they portray preachers and Christians in movies. I'm just saying, how are we going to act when the party pooper shows up? You say, well, preacher. And then they exalt those, they promote those who exalt man and downplay those who exalt God. Then they chafe at our absolutes because truth is relative. There is no God. The Bible's just an old book. And there's no right and wrong. There's no standard anymore since we evolved from monkeys or some other lower life. Dear God, I know some monkeys that's got more morals than most people I know. Amen. We must be devolving. Hello, can you amen? I mean, we switch partners as if we were dogs sometimes. And we don't like this one and we like somebody else's better. Bless God, let's just lay an eye on them and go get them. I don't think that's evolving. I think that's devolving. And we just, you know, we live by our own rules now because God is dead and the Bible's not right and there's no creator and there's no rules or regulations. And I'm just saying, bless your heart, the minute a nation, a church, or a home does that, they're in for a destructive trap. I just read history and I've heard over and over again that's true. I don't have time to do all the rest, but I really, the tendency in America I find to be exactly what I told you there. We live by our own set of rules. Over time we take God for granted, do we not? I said, do we not? We take him for granted. Why, surely God doesn't mean what he says here. Those shalt nots, they must be suggestions and not commandments. And we don't take it literal. And I just think the party pooper is about to show up. But bless God, when he does show up, we'll just say, well, isn't that such an accident, coincidence? Boy, 9-1-1 sure lasted a long time, didn't it? Gulf War sure lasted a long time, didn't it? I'm just saying, folks, have you ever heard this old saying? I saw the handwriting on the wall. Have you ever heard that old saying? You know where they came from? Right here. Have you ever heard that quarterback, Namath? I think I hear somebody singing. Turn out the lights, what? What? You know what I think? I think we need to be wise and look at the handwriting.
Amen.
I think I can hear the band playing for the woman begin to sing. Hello, is anybody here? I think the party pooper is about to show up. You said, "Our preacher, I don't know if you know what you're talking about or not." I don't know if I know what I'm talking about or not. But I know anytime the ruler of a great nation like Babylon can party in the light of the besieging of the city, a taking over of the city. I think anytime anybody is so presumptuous, I don't know if you remember or not, March 19, 2003, Saddam Hussein, you remember that guy? And his two sons, Uday and Kuday, or should have or should not. While America was in Kuwait, planning to invade Iraq. Do you know what Saddam and Uday and Kuday was doing that day? They was having a party. They were having a party. They were so secure in their situation. They all gathered together and got half the executive branch in the downtown Baghdad area and was having a party. Some of our patrols found out about the party. And they radioed it back, and our president, thank God for George W. Bush, ordered a strike on that house, and one of our cruise missiles slammed into that house and destroyed a lot of the officials. Now, Kuday and Uday and Saddam was having a good day. They got out. But why in the world, when the superpower of the world is lining up on you and going to invade you, I think that's the time to find a hole, not a party. But Saddam felt that he was the reincarnate Nebuchadnezzar and that he was the big potentate over the new revived Babylon. And just 50 miles down the river, the Euphrates River, it is said that during his reign, he spent millions, maybe even billions, rebuilding this city that Belshazzar is king of. What a coincidence. What a coincidence. I just wonder, have you got time this morning to go to a party? It's 11:10. And I just think for the next 10 minutes, let's you and I go to a party. It's in verse 1. The Bible says, do you believe the Bible?
Yes.
The Bible says that Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. And his wives and his concubines, their wives and their concubines, and their concubines who need to be concubines, whose wives are not there, all got together for a party. And I think if I read my Bible right, it doesn't say this specifically, but I think something in this party aggravated God. Just something was going on that really didn't trip his trigger. Something was happening that kind of agitated heaven just a little bit. Would you say that? Now, I would say it wasn't necessarily the partying spirit, because America's filled with that. It wasn't necessarily the wine that upset God so much, because if that was true, then half of us been dead before we ever got saved. Is that not so? Come on now, loosen up a little bit. Is that right? And there's something going on in this party that really God was got kind of aggravated at. That maybe just, he said, now, they have just stepped, listen to me, over the line. God drew a line in the sand and said, it's okay. Now, the booze didn't get him over the line. Not even the lewdness, not even the immorality, not even the debauchery, not even what was going on after the wine had stirred their emotions and stirred their physical body and left all reason out. It was not the lewdness. It was not the fornication. It was not the wine. It was not the party. Something took place that aggravated God about all of this. Oh, but preacher, we would never do that. Well, I know that. Preacher, that's Old Testament. I know that. I think I have that much comprehension of the Word of God that I might know that we're in the Old Testament. But now something aggravated God to the extent that he reached next door and said, I think it's party pooping time. Would you say and agree with me that Americans have developed a party morality and mentality?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Would you think that the average American believes that this is nothing but a great big Super Bowl tailgate party?
Amen.
Look. Are you going to join that church? No, I didn't enjoy it. Are you going to stay at that job? No, I don't like it. You going to live with her? No, she got fat. You going to stay with him? No, his chest fell. Now his bubble's in the middle, so he's on the level. It all depends on are we enjoying it? And does it make us happy?
Yep. Amen.
Life is just a big party. I need an amen. Amen. Brother Jim, say amen. Well, just me and you. I pay you. You got to say amen. Are you coming back tonight? No, I'm going to enjoy a program on television. Something really happened. I think about the most silly thing I ever heard of. Do you enjoy your job? I've had a lot of jobs. I never enjoyed a job. I'm lazy. I don't like to work. At least I'm honest. Some of you folk look like, oh, I love my job. Why are you punching in and out? Won't you go down there and live then?
Amen.
Why are you charging somebody to do something you enjoy so much? Why do you demand pay for something that you enjoy so well? The word job don't even sound good to me. Does job make you want to shout? Does time clock looking you in the face make you want to praise God for the job? Why do you have vacations if job is so much fun? Well, I just don't enjoy my job. Shake hands with another one. And so, whether we work or not depends on whether we enjoy the job, when it ought to depend on whether you enjoy eating or not. And enjoying taking a check home to your dear wife who's been picking up your dirty drawers for all these years and washing your stinking socks. Job is not to be enjoyed. Job is to make a living so you can support the cause of Christ and support your family and be honor and glorifying to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever said you had to enjoy your job? Whoever said you needed to enjoy church? Well, the preacher just don't trip my trigger anymore. Hey, maybe your trigger's broke. Well, I go to church, my bell don't get rung. Maybe your clanger's broke. Whoever said you is supposed to enjoy church? Church is not about you. It's about God. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about honoring the Savior. It's about honoring the head of the church. It's not about you enjoying church. We've developed a party mentality in America. It's all about enjoy. Well, I tell you, preacher, I'm going to quit school. Because I don't like it. Did you like school? Would you have quit if your daddy had let you? Early. Early. Well, I just don't enjoy school. I guess we ought to quit then. Since it's all about having fun and being happy, having a joyous time, and everybody treating us like we think we ought to be treated. Do you think maybe you know somebody in America who's developed a party mentality? While the Medes and the Persians are planning to take the city, this idiot says, let's have a party. I think that would be a great party spirit. Could I show you the problem? What time is it? The problem is, it's 10:18. No, the problem is, it's 11:18. Problem is, your preacher can't tell time. Look at this. The party. The problem. Verse 2 through 4. Here's the problem. Problem's not the wine. You say, preacher, I drink. God must not love me. Yes, God loves you if you're drinking. Right. Preacher, have I stepped over the line because I drink? Nope. That's not what caused God agitated and send the party pooper to Babylon. Here it is, verse 2. The Bible says, Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wife and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the vessels, golden vessels, that were taken out of the temple of the house of God. Have you ever read in the book of Numbers what the penalty was for touching that which was sanctified and holy to God? Numbers 14 and verse 15. It says that the sons of Korah shall come and bear it, but they shall not touch any holy thing lest they die. So in mockery, the great king of the great superpower. Said, we are not even afraid of God Almighty. Our walls are so thick and they are so deep in the earth and so high and gigantic that I don't even think God could break down these walls. And we are not afraid of God. We will tempt God. We don't care where the line is. We don't care. So he said, bring the golden vessels that was in the house of God and let's make a mockery of God and let's just say to God, you take a hike, old man. We'll do what we want to do when we want to do it as long as we want to do it. But preacher, we would never do that. We don't realize that. Have you ever heard of that fella over in the Old Testament? I was reminded last week of him about a guy by the name of Uzzah. U-Z-Z-A. Oh, when the Ark of the Covenant was down in the Philistines' camp, and David had destroyed the camp and destroyed the Philistines, God led David to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. Don't you touch it. It was to be carried a certain way, be carried by the Levites on staves. But David instead went down and built a brand new cart and got the Levites to put it on the new cart. And as they were transporting it back to Jerusalem, the oxen hit a hole and they stumbled and the ark rocked and Uzzah reached over to steady the ark and God killed him immediately. In his sincerity, in his desire to help, he touched that which is holy. And God said, you cross the line. Wow. And he killed him immediately. Here, this superpower king, defiant to God. I wonder if anybody in this nation has been defiant to God. And they took that which was holy. That which had been sanctified by God Almighty. And now in mockery and debauchery and in temptation, they say, God, we'll drink what we want to drink out of what we want to drink. And God said, party pooper time. But preacher, we would never do that. Did you know Exodus says that the Lord's day is holy? Did you know that the Bible says the Lord's day has been hallowed to the Lord? Do you know there was a time when you couldn't buy or sell on Sunday? Have you ever heard of the blue law? There was a time when folks so reverenced the day of God that they did not work, they did not buy, they set it aside to God because it was holy unto God. Do you know anybody who has touched and taken the day of God and used it for their own blasphemy? Amen. Have you read Leviticus chapter 27 when it says, and the tenth or the tithe is holy unto the Lord. Amen. Preacher, I don't understand why this is going on in my life. You mean the party pooper's been to your house? You mean he showed up disguised as a lawyer with divorce papers? You mean he showed up with an MD's degree on the wall and said, it's cancer. You mean he showed up? Oh, listen to me. The Bible says that even you're not your own. The Bible says you're bought with a price. The Bible said you're set apart to God. He redeemed you. You're His. And now you and I are to glorify God in our body and our spirit. And you say, well, old Nebuchadnezzar was an absolute, unthoughtful, unwise individual. Oh, really? All he did was take that which was God's, that which was set aside to God and set aside for God, and used it in mockery and for his own idol worship. He drank wine in the vessels of God to the praise of what? The gods of gold, silver, iron, and so forth and so on. What are we doing with God today? What are we doing with God's tithe? What are we doing with God's redemption? We show God we'll use it like we want to. We'll take it where we want it taken. We'll do with it what we want to do with it. I know it says that, but that's just baloney. That's not true. That God don't mean that. And what we'll do, we'll just be secular humanist and make our own rules as we go along. Now, are we guilty or not?
Yes, sir.
I said, are we guilty or not?
Yes,
well, when's the party pooper going to show up? You can expect him. Because you crossed God's line, and God is obligated to his word to keep his word. But preacher, that's just too much. I know. I'm going to close. But I want to talk to you, first of all, about the party pooper. I want you to look at the means. He's having a party. He's drinking his juice. He's frolicking with the women. And all of a sudden, over next to the wall is not an arm. Not an arm. Not a hand. Just fingers. And he's writing something on the wall. Now, the king didn't understand the message, but he was sure mindful of the messenger. He ain't never seen that before. Notice the means. God can use any means he wants to ring our doorbell and remind us that we're not in control. Just fingers of a man's hand writing on the wall. Mene, tekel, upharsin. The king didn't understand that, but he did recognize the means by which the message was delivered was kind of unusual. One day the apostle Paul, whose name was Saul, was riding down the road to Damascus. Remember that day? And he had everything going his way. He was a graduate from Camel University. He was a Pharisee. He was a teacher of the law. He was the big dog in the political hierarchy of the day. Suddenly he was going down the road riding on his mule, and the bright light from heaven absolutely blinded him, and God Almighty slapped him off his mule, hit on his back, and God said, Saul, the party is over. Hello? God can use some very unusual means. A rooster for Peter. A donkey for Balaam. A bright light for Paul. A prophet for David. David, thou art the man. A computer for the pedophile who forgot to throw the computer away. God is not out of means. The means, real weird. I've had our members call, preacher, so-and-so just had a terrible, terrible accident. I've gone to the hospital. I've looked into faces. It looks like something from outer space. The eyes are swollen. The jaws are broken. The lips cannot part. The jaws are taped together. Cannot speak. And look up with tears in her eyes as to say, I met the party pooper on the way home from work today. How many little kids you think have sat in my office? I said, preacher, why my mom and daddy? Divorce? Why don't I have a daddy at the house? Why is my mama gone? Well, son, I guess they just want to have more party. No commitment, just parties. Feel good philosophy. Feel good, do it. Let's go have a party. But don't forget, God ain't out of fingers. Is anybody here? Now, the king didn't understand the message. He didn't know verbiage. He couldn't read what was on the wall. But he got the message. The message was, Belshazzar, you've crossed the line. You've crossed the line. The fat lady is about to say. Handwriting is on the wall. Belshazzar, go ahead, turn out the lights. The party is all over. I think if America does not repent, I think if Christians in America don't quit spending their time on Fox Network and start praying, and stop filling yourself so full of negativity that it just seems like this hole we'll never get out of. I think until God's people, which are called by God's name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked way and pray, I think our nation can be saved. But I think if you look on the wall, the hand is beginning to write. And I think Christians are the one that's going to make the difference. Boy, I wish I had time to talk to you about the preacher. I don't have time, but I'm telling you. Old Belshazzar began to look for the answer. Why is it? Why is it you folks only call me when it's cancer? Or the divorce papers is already signed. And both of you already got another girlfriend. Or boyfriend. Or a girlfriend. Why is it? Why is it they always want the preacher when they've made so dumb many mistakes that you can't undo them again? But you put her down when they see the handwriting on the wall, they always wanting somebody to tell them how to get out of this mess. And Belshazzar began to look for an answer, begin to shout and scream, if you would please, in verse number 7, and begin to look for secular means by which we can get out of this situation. And the queen walks in verse 11, says, and there is a man. You like that? There is a man in Babylon. By the way, he's not Babylonian. By the way, he's the guy who was in the lion's den. Oh, by the way, he's the guy who told Nebuchadnezzar what was going to happen. Oh, by the way, he's 80 years old now, just a teenager when he came over. And Belshazzar, surely you've heard of the man who was in second in charge when your daddy, granddaddy was on the throne. Surely you know Daniel, the Secretary of State. You know him. Yeah, but who's going to believe a stinking old wore-out preacher? He's outdated. Probably don't even know how to turn a computer on. He don't read his emails. He lets the secretaries do that. Who's going to believe an outdated, wore-out, 70-year-old guy that's been preaching for 40-some years. Who's going to believe Daniel? He's 80 years old. My God, he's not up to date. He don't know what's going on. Hey, you know what he said? Notice in verse 14, he said of Daniel, I've heard of thee. Notice again in verse 16, I've heard of thee. Sure, he heard of Daniel, but he didn't do what Daniel said. Well, I'm done. He begins in verse number 17, gives Belshazzar a history lesson. He says, you remember Nebuchadnezzar, your granddaddy? You remember Nebuchadnezzar getting proud? You remember that guy getting arrogant? You remember him looking to the face of God and say, look what I've done, look what I've done, look what I've done. And you remember God sent him out in the wilderness and his fingernails growing like eagle's claws, eating straw with the horses and with the cows and the cattle. You remember his mind going bazook, him going out of his mind. You remember that guy? You remember granddaddy? Oh, yeah, I remember granddaddy. Then he gives him a theology lesson. He says, how come you are praising the gods of gold and silver and all of this? They do not hear, they do not feel, they do not speak. And here you defile the God of the living, the creator of the universe. You are a nut, Belshazzar. Verse 30, party over. While he had his party, while he was doing his thing, the Medes and the Persians, under the direction of Cyrus and Darius, had discovered a way to detract the Euphrates River, and they turned it off its course. And the riverbed dried up while Belshazzar was having his party. And the Medes and the Persians marched underneath the wall with their forces and took the city that night. The superpower that was indestructible. All it took just divert the river. And they walked in, and the king died that evening. Well, God's patience and God's tolerance had completely run out when the king crossed the line and began to do with that which was holy for his own pleasure, and began to take that which was God's and use it for their own enjoyment, to appease their own gods. America has a new god. It's called pleasurism. Amen. And materialism. Amen. And it seems as though we got more Christians worshiping and praising the gods of gold and silver. Amen. And trusting in the gods of gold and silver instead of listening to God when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, don't waste your life feeding the flesh. Life is not a tailgate party. Life is a preparation for eternal life. A relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm afraid some of us can expect pretty soon now the party pooper to show up. May not be the fingers of a man's hand, but God is not out of means and his message is still the same. Amen. Oh, I have six good reasons why I'm not going to take God's day, God's money, and God's life and waste it serving idols. It's Darla, Laura, Jean, David, Amanda, and Andrew. Six good reasons why I'll not be drinking. wine in the master's vessels. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Man, you need to get it right today.